I want to impress upon you thanks reason. We talk about Thanksgiving, but I want to give you thanks reason. I want to give you a reason to give him thanks 365 days a year, 24/7, even in your sleep when you're snoring, you can say, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. So when your spouse is snoring next to you, just join right in and say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and give him praise here tonight. Amen. Thanks reason. Thanks reason. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I want to give you reasons to worship, reasons to praise, reasons to bless, and reasons to give thanks. James chapter 1. Would you stand with me as we go to the Word of the Lord tonight? And it was so good to see Quentin and his our new brother that we have discovered in the Lord tonight. Amen. Didn't they do a good job singing and playing? Amen. And I just marvel at the choir and the music and the abilities and the commitment and the dedication and of the singers and the people who love to, it's just a love to praise God. Amen. And we do want to sing our very best for the bishop. We want to do it for Jesus every Sunday. But there are special times and special occasions. If you look in the Old Testament, there were times when you were to put on a ritz, amen, for the Lord and dress to impress and not people, but the Lord. Amen. And we also want to make our pastor shine next Sunday. So you be here next Sunday morning, our presiding bishop. Now, I was going to ask, I know Pastor Jerry, maybe Brother Tedder, have we ever at Westmoreland? Now, Westmoreland, did the general superintendent in office, has they ever spoke at Westmoreland? Now, I'm not talking about maybe what's out of office or before they got in office, but do you know, any of you know that you know of? So this will be a first for Westmoreland. Now, we've had general superintendents come who are out of office, but we're talking about the one who is in office from Oklahoma City in the hot seat or in the great seat, whatever you want to call it, amen, is actually coming. Now, for the Living Waters, Bishop Leggett came here and preached behind this pulpit in 2003 when he was in office. He came as the general superintendent. That's when he gave me that prophetic word standing right over here. So, listen, special times and special people and special places, God does special things. So God's going to do something special here Sunday. We're going to another level. Amen. This is a premier Pentecostal holiness church, and we're going to celebrate what God has done through the years, what God has done through our pastor. And I'm excited, and I want you to get excited. I don't want you to miss, if at all possible, 100% attendance, and call your friends and say, hey, let's show up in force, and let's have a great Sunday morning service. And in all of that said and done, I believe our presiding bishop will bring us a word for the hour. Amen. So we're praying and believing, and our choir is going to do their very best. And I just praise God for what he's going to do. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. If you're there, say amen. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, which are where? Scattered abroad. So they've been through some troubles and some difficulties. But verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or many, the word divers means many, temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I'm glad to know I don't have to lack anything. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And the title of the message tonight, part two, is this. Simply, I don't need to complain because. Turn around and tell your neighbor, I don't need to complain. And Father, tonight anoint the preaching of your word, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell your neighbor again, you don't need to complain. Amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise here tonight. You don't need to complain. Last week, I began this message series by giving you two words that will change your life. Those two words were, thank you. But tonight I want to, as I gave you two words that would change your life for the good, I want to give you something tonight that would actually change your life for the bad. It's a very powerful concept, and that word is the word complain. I don't even like to say that word. I'm complaining about saying the word complain, if you've noticed. You see, complaining is very powerful because it can take your heart of gratitude and it can destroy it. It can destroy the sense of thankfulness and satisfaction that you live with in your life. And unfortunately, we don't have to graduate from college to learn how to be ungrateful. We seem to inherit it from the womb and take it too many times to the tomb. We come up with reasons to complain. I was scrolling along and heard about Twitter and some people that were tweeting some things over Christmas not long ago. And these were complaints. And I just took note of them. A young man by the name of Cody on Twitter complained to the entire world. He said, "I didn't get any cash for Christmas, so I can't go after Christmas shopping." Now, that's complaining. You know, people are starving in Africa, but you didn't get enough money to go to Walmart. Now, come on now. Amen. Rayanne said, "All I wanted for Christmas was black Nike shoes and a new phone and pants. And I didn't get any of that stuff." And then she put up there, mad face, annoyed face. Oh, my goodness. Don't you feel sorry that she didn't get a pair of shoes and pants? Young lady by the name of Radian said, "I told my dad I wanted an iPhone, but he bought an iPhone 6S. Back then, this is a little dated, but he gave me an iPhone 6, so I microwaved it." Now, talk about being ungrateful. I guarantee you she probably won't never get another iPhone if she were my child. Come on now. And one fellow said, "My mom got me an iPad Mini 2 when I wanted an iPad Air 2. I hate my mom." Now, folks, don't you know that we in America, to complain about iPads and iPhones when so many in the world don't even have running water or electricity? I want you to know tonight that you and I don't have any reason to complain. Jesus Christ is Lord of glory. He died on a cross and he came out of that tomb. I want you to know, if you're walking on your two feet and if you've got sense enough to nod your head, you ought to say, "Yes, Lord." You ought to know that you don't have any reason to complain. The Lord is my shepherd. God is up to something. I'm going to praise him and bless him. I am redeemed. I've been bought by a price. And I don't need to complain. Somebody shout glory to God and give him another hand of praise here tonight. I don't need to complain. But here is what complaining is. It is a choice. It's a choice to be thankful instead of complaining. It's a choice to stop focusing on your problems and focus on God and the God which is at work during the problems of life. If you'll put back up James chapter 1 and verse 2, and I'll read this from the New Living Translation as you see it in the King James. It says in the New Living Translation, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Did you hear that? It's in the New Living, but you see it different. It says, "Count it all joy." But the New Living Translation says, when you have troubles that come your way, consider it an opportunity. You know what James was really saying? He was saying, you don't have to complain, because I want you to know, troubles give us an opportunity in disguise. I'm going to say that again. Troubles are an opportunity in disguise. You see, those troubles you're going through may be exactly what you need to build endurance in your life. Exactly what you need to have a greater perspective. Exactly what you need to draw closer to God. So you don't have any reason to complain, even though you're going through tough times, even when things are not going your way, even when you don't feel like you have a lot of reasons to be thankful, you can still give him thanks. In fact, you must and you should have no reason to complain and every reason to praise him. Somebody say amen tonight. Thank God for dirty dishes. Sometimes the dishes will pile up and I'll intend to wash them, and Darnell will come home and they haven't been washed. So Darnell, this is in tribute to you. Thank God for dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we've eaten very well. With home and health and happiness, I shouldn't want a fuss. By the stack of evidence, God has been good to us. Thank God, I don't have a reason to complain. Let me give you four things tonight to make it a little more real to you. Number one, I don't need to complain because God is in control. Tell your neighbor, God is in control. Go to Psalm 103 and verse 19. Psalm 103 and verse 19. I said, God is in control. Psalm 103 and 19 in the King James Version says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over. In fact, another translation says, the Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. The word all means everything. He is in charge. God rules over what? Everything. Everything belongs to God. God is in control of everything. God in season knows and understands everything. God in season knows and he understands everything. He understands everything that is happening to you. Somebody say everything. Even when we don't understand how things in our lives can be so upside down, and it's difficult to understand that God is in control, I'm telling you, he's in control of everything. Now, I want to tell you, though, it doesn't mean God causes everything. Don't blame God on some of the mess you make. Come on now. Don't blame God for some of the mess I make. God certainly doesn't cause evil. You know, if someone who gets cancer, I'm going to tell you, if you lose your job or your marriage ends, your husband or wife walks out on you, that doesn't mean that God caused it. I'm going to repeat that. If you lose your job, get cancer, marriage ends, your husband or wife walks out on you, that doesn't mean God caused it. Those things happen in this world because things happen. Turn around to somebody, things happen. Things just happen sometime. And that doesn't mean God will never cause sickness and disease. God will never cause divorce. Sometimes it just, Moses, for the hardness of your heart, said you could have a divorce. I promise you, when you get humble before God, God will help you in the marriage difficulties. And sometimes losing your job may be just because you're not subordinate, or you're not showing up, or not. You might not be performing well, and you might think you are. And most jobs today will give you a track to improve yourself. So sometimes we have to learn and grow, and sometimes we have to come to the best and not blame our problems on everybody and on God himself. Sometimes you can't even blame the devil. Sometimes it's our own mistakes and our own situations. In fact, somebody said, I can't be thankful this Thanksgiving. Why not? Because I've got myself in so much credit card debt. I can't be thankful. I said, well, who calls that? He said, well, I call that. Well, I said, you can still be thankful if you have credit card debt. What? Be thankful that you're not one of the debtors you owe. Think of it. Turn it around. Amen. And be thankful that God can bail you out when you tithe and give. He could give him some time, sow the right seed. You've sown bad seed. You're going to reap a bad harvest. Start where you are. Start sowing seed and be thankful. I said God rules over everything. He can give you favor with your creditors. He can give you increase. He is the God of impossibility, and he is in control. And you don't have to complain because God is in control. Amen? He can turn problems into possibilities. I'm going to say that again. He can turn problems into possibilities. Some of y'all might not have any problems tonight. You're not really grasping this. Well, one of three things. You've just had some problems. You're either in a problem or you're going to face a problem. But you don't need to complain. Amen. I said God rules over everything. I'm going to say this, and this is a word from the Lord as I wrote this down. I want to say this. Everything that happens to you, if you're a child of God, everything that happens to you also happens for you. Now, that might not have blessed but two people here tonight, maybe me and one other person, but I think it ought to bless all of us. I said, everything that happens to you also happens for you. God is expert at turning the curse into a blessing. Lost my job, cursed. But what does God do with curses? He turns them into blessings. Amen. Well, I failed in my marriage. Well, God takes the curse and turns it into a blessing. I'm telling you, even your mistakes, even in your failures, everything that happens to you, you can look back and say, God turned it for, it really happened for me. God was moving when I didn't understand it. So you don't need to complain, because everything that happens to you happens for you, because God has his eye on you. Tell your neighbor, God has his eye on you. I'm telling you, he's got his eye on you. He's watching. He's careful. He's planning. He's working. He sees your heart. He sees what you need tonight. He's already making a way. Trust in the Lord. Believe him. You don't have any reason to complain, because God is in control. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. I said, God has his eye on you. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. His eye is on you tonight. He's counting the hair on your head. And if he can count the hair on your head, then you can count on him. Celebrate that. Amen. Celebrate that. You don't need to complain. Number two, you don't need to complain, not only because God is in control, but number two, because God's promises are always true. God's promises are always true. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says this, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? You know, I try to keep my word as a human, and people will give you their word as humans, but am I the only one that somebody didn't keep their word to? I believe we can all catalog where somebody failed to, they did, said, promised this, they said they would do this, they said they would do that, but when it actually came down to it, they didn't come through on their word. Can I tell you, that'll never happen to God. What God has spoken to you in the dark, you can shout in the light if he gives you the permission. When God makes a promise, you can bank on it, because, listen, when God says, I love you, he means it. When God says, I'm with you, he means it. When God says, even though you walk through the valleys, and I'm with you, he means it. You don't have to complain, because when God gives you a promise, he keeps his word, no matter what you're facing, no matter how many other people have lied to you. See, some people get cynical. They get cynical because people let them down. Maybe it was a parent that let them down. Maybe a child let them down. And so they have trouble building faith because they kind of hold that to God. And then things don't go the way they think they should go. And then they think, well, maybe God didn't keep his word. Let me tell you something. God, you don't need to complain. God's going to keep his promises. His promises are just. His promises are sure. And you take his promises and you take them to God and say, God, you promised me peace. And I'm believing you for peace. God, you promised me prosperity. Now, Lord, I'll praise you. If I don't have a shirt on my back, I'll praise you barebacked and bare feet if I got to. If I don't have a roof over my head, if the communists take over and run us all underground, and I lay on a mud puddle, I'll still thank you and praise you. But God, times are good right now, and people are enjoying this economy. Thank you, Lord, for our president, and thank you for others. And listen, you don't need to complain. You might be in a waiting pattern, but God has promised, and he will fulfill that promise. Let me take a survey here. Has God ever fulfilled a promise in your life? Come on, raise your hand. Somebody testify. Says testify. Those of you that raised your hand, turn around and tell your neighbor, you don't need to complain. Amen. God is going to keep His promise. He's promised food. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He said, you pray that, and I've already answered it. Oh, He has promised to bring healing. If you're facing sickness, He will bring healing because He has promised, and He will supply, and we don't need to complain. Amen. Number three, I don't need to complain because He keeps His promises. Say amen. I don't need to complain because He's in control. Say amen. And number three, I don't need to complain because He understands what I'm going through. He understands what you're going through. You see, God is not unseen and unaware and distant. He's not a hands-off God. You know, if he knows the hair on your head, that means He's hands-on. One, two, three, four. Come on now. I have a sanctified imagination. I see Him taking my head and 415,406. I don't know if that's that many. I claim it by faith. I don't want to lose one of them. Somebody said, well, you got gray hair. I got gray hair when I was 35 years old. I was a pastor for 15 years. You figure out why I got gray hair. Well, you don't have gray hair now. That's because God provided. Amen. Every month. Amen. I get baptized. Glory to God. And I'm not complaining. Amen. Glad it's still up there. Praise the Lord. But if He took it, I'd say, thank you, Jesus, anyway. I don't care. This physical body is soon to perish anyway. But He understands. He is hands-on in your life. Your telephone calls. Your Facebook post. You know, be careful what you put out there on Facebook. Be careful when you complain. Because you say you're a Christian and you're up there talking about how terrible life is. Well, that's not a very good witness. We are to be His witness. Amen. That doesn't mean we share our burdens. That doesn't mean we ask for prayer. But God understands. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. Thanksgiving, Christmas. How that God came to earth. You came from heaven to earth. To show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift Your name on high. He came into the mess. Christmas. That's a sermon I'm going to preach one day. Christmas. I mean, it's a lot of mess. If you've been around some of my redneck family, you know it's a mess sometimes. I'm telling you, Christmas was crazy sometimes. You get all my crazy cousins and uncles together. And then not a one of them was sanctified, I promise you. And you're talking about you had a Baptist uncle. Man, I didn't even have a Baptist uncle. I'm telling you. Be thankful you had a Baptist uncle, brother. I ordered coffee at the restaurant the other night, and I got a cup of water. And I was telling somebody, who was it? I know what it was. It was Kevin Morin. Now, if anybody know Kevin Morin, he was raised in church. and we got to talking about what we were drinking. And I said, Kevin, this is my cup of coffee, but my water is my chaser. And he didn't have a clue what it was. I just snickered a little bit. I said, Kevin, son, let me tell you, you were raised around preachers. I was raised around Waylon Jennings and and George, whatever his name is. George Jones. I said, he didn't know what a chaser was. I said, all I can do is say my grandpa took a swig of Jack Daniels whiskey, and before he swallowed it, he drank some Coca-Cola. That was the chaser. Oh, I don't know why I'm getting on all this. I just know sometimes in the mess. And I'll tell you what, my family, many of them, my grandfather who did that, I prayed and led him to the Lord many years later. You know, I want you to know God loves sinners. Don't you go to Christmas with that holier-than-thou attitude. And if they ask me to say the blessing, and I got family that's gay. I got family that's not definitely not Christian. And if they ask me to say the blessing, And I don't ever preach down to them. I don't ever try to be some sanctimonious something. And I try to ask them questions and tell them I love them, praying for them. I ask the Lord to give me an opportunity to witness to them. But if they ask me to say the blessing, that's my only sermon I'll be able to preach to some of them. I say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the meal we're about to receive. Father, it reminds me of how you met our greatest need. How that your Son, Jesus Christ, came to this world because of our sins. And we have sinned so much. I have sinned so much. But you sent your Son in the middle of this mess. I may not use the word mess, but in the middle of this world. And he took those sins for me. And I can't earn my salvation. I'm not good enough, but you gave me salvation. And at this Thanksgiving and at this Christmas, I rejoice that you rose from the dead. And if I will believe in you and if I will repent, oh God, you're so merciful to me. I'm telling you, I kid you not, that is my prayer of blessing. And I do it intentionally because that may be the only gospel that some of my loved ones will ever hear. Folks, we got to be evangelists. We've got to share the gospel. We got to pass the taters and the bread. We need to quit complaining so much. We're children of the Most High God. I may have a bad hair day, or my car may break down, or my lights may be turned off because I'm a few days late with my bill. But I'll tell you what, God is right in the middle of it. He'll huddle up with you and give you some warmth in the cold. I'm telling you, He walks with me. He talks with me. He's there in the hospital. He's there at the graveyard. I want you to know he is where he's been there. He's done that. You remember that phrase they used to say? Been there? And what? Oh, I'm here to tell you, he's been there. If you are in loneliness, guess what? He's been there and he's done that. Oh, if you've been forsaken, he's been there and done that. He's been right in the middle. I don't need to complain because he understands my trouble. If I've been rejected, he's been there and done that. Underappreciated, he's been there, done that. If I have been forgotten by others, he was forgotten by others. On that lonely night, he prayed until his sweat became as drops of blood. I don't have reason to complain. He's with me. He's for me. He's beside me. And praise God, he's in me. Why don't you give him praise tonight? Hebrews 4 and 15 says, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. I mean, at his birth, he had to stay in a barn. We make it pretty. Ladies, do you really want to give birth without a nurse? The only person there was Joseph. And the animals. That's not a place you want to give birth at. And yet, the Lord was there. And the star was shining. And the angel said, Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Because God has stepped down into the mess. And I tell you what, if he can lay his head in a bunch of hay. Now, folks, we make it pretty, but I'm here to tell you. I don't even like to go in a restaurant and there's a crumb of bread on the table. I got my hand sanitizer. Brother Jerry carries his anointing oil. I carry anointing oil and a hand sanitizer. And I put that hand sanitizer on that table. I can't imagine laying a baby in a place where the animals feed. But my friend, I'm going to tell you, he was there. And he's there with you tonight. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In fact, the great Adrian Rogers says, God may not always take us out of trouble, but he'll always get into trouble with us. Can you lift your hand and thank him that he's in trouble with you? And he is the way maker and the chain breaker. And I don't need to complain because God understands what I'm going through. And then finally tonight, I don't need to complain because God is in control. Say amen. I don't need to complain because God keeps his promises. Say amen. I don't need to complain because God understands my trouble and is in the midst of it. Can you say amen? And then finally tonight, I don't need to complain because heaven is my future home. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, and I'm about to come to a close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a, worketh for us, there it is. Everything that happens to us happens for us. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One translation says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. One translation says, we fix our gaze on the things which are not seen. And I like that. We fix our gaze. In other words, my gaze is broken. You know, when you don't have good eyesight, it affects you. You need glasses or contacts. And I think there are some people with myopia and all of that. They're nearsighted. All they can see is now. Some people are farsighted. They can only see heaven and not the help that's needed right here. God wants to give us this year coming up, 2020. Amen. And I believe he wants us to fix our gaze. Something that's broke needs to be fixed. I said something broke that needs to be fixed. And some of you are fixing your gaze. Some of you are looking at the wrong things. You're looking at the Dow Jones Industrial Report. You're looking at CNN and fake news. And the impeachment hearings. You need to fix your gaze. Amen. The psalmist said, I'll lift up my eyes and I'll look into the hills from whence cometh my help. Some of you are looking at others. When preachers fell back in the 80s, and I was just a teenager, and I remember some people backslid because they said, well, if brother so-and-so can't live it, then I can't live it. You need to fix your gaze because you've been looking at a man. Hallelujah. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You need to fix your gaze, and you need to consider that heaven is a, and ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this, I believe God wants to prosper us. I believe God wants to bless us, and I believe it. I just preached it a few minutes ago, but I'm here to tell you this world, as good as God can bless us in this world is still nothing compared to glory. Don't you ever forget. Keep your eyes on the prize. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. There is a promise of heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There are no creditors in heaven. Can you say amen? Praise God. There's no abortions in heaven. There's no fake news in heaven. The angels are going to cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I want you to know that Paul says the secret to being thankful is not focusing on the here and the now. It is more. It is something beyond. Focus on the finish line. God has prepared a place for you here, but I tell you, it won't compare. He's prepared a place for you there. And death will happen to all of us. But there's no need to complain because he's promised a place called glory. Anybody headed to glory? Are you amazed as we sung tonight? Can you praise him that he's promised a place in heaven? Streets of gold, gates of pearl. And this generation, you never hear preaching about heaven. You've quit singing about heaven. I think we need to preach it. If we get under persecution like some other Christians are, brother, we'll have heaven in our mind and we'll fix our gaze. And we need to do it now and not wait for that. I don't need to complain. God is in control. He is the promise keeper. He is the way maker. He is the one that has promised me a far better place where there is no suffering. And I believe he's going to help me now. He's in the middle of my mess, but I also believe that I'm going to look into the hills. I'm going to keep my eyes on that heavenly reward. Somebody say amen tonight. Would you stand with me tonight? We bless your name, Lord. Brother Ray, if you'll come, and I want you to grab a microphone, and Pastor, I'd like for you to come as well, and I want us to sing a song called I Am So Thankful. And we're going to sing it next Sunday night as well. But I want to close with this tonight. I want to close with this. Unknown to the reading public, motivational expert Dale Carnegie occasionally. Now, Dale Carnegie was known many years ago as a motivational speaker. But They didn't realize he suffered deep periods of depression. And he devised a technique for getting out of depression. Now, he became a believer, I believe, before he died. But he said this, that I think, whether he was not a believer or whether he was a believer, I believe what he said can apply to all of us. When depressed, he said, I would deliberately imagine I'd lost everything. He said, job, property, reputation, all my family. He said, I would just imagine I lost everything I valued. He said, and then I would start adding up. Well, I haven't lost my family. And I haven't. He said, I would go through the list. I would imagine losing my job. I'd imagine losing my property. I'd imagine losing my family. I would imagine losing my reputation. And then he would say, no, I haven't lost my reputation. No, I haven't lost my family. No, I haven't lost my property. And now I haven't lost my job. And then he said, I'd get out of that depressed spirit. And I think that's not a bad thing to do. When you have that old ugly spirit of complaining to come over you, just imagine losing everything and then start thanking him for this and start thanking him for that and start thanking him for that. Can you do that right now? Can you lift up your hands and sing tonight and praise him? We don't have any need to complain, Lord. Oh God, you've blessed us, Lord. You've blessed us, and we are blessed with every spiritual and physical and material blessing. And some of you are in a mess tonight. Some of you've got some needs. Will you come to this altar, and we're going to pray for you tonight. But before we pray, let's sing this song. I am so thankful. Help me, Brother Ray.
I am so thankful.
Sing it again. If you need his touch tonight, come to this altar.
I am so thankful.
Come on down and worship him tonight. Thank you. That's two words.
I am so thankful.
Oh, we thank you, Lord. You've been there. You've done that, Lord.